The Holy Gospel this day comes from Luke in the 24th chapter. Jesus said to the 11 and those with him, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." And then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written, that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are my witnesses of these things. And see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." And then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple, blessing God. The Gospel of our Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. So the Easter season is beginning to draw to a close, but the story is far from over. With the echoes of Jesus' resurrection still in our hearts and minds, we, the church, now begin to prepare for a new season, a new orientation, the next unfolding chapter in God's sweeping story of redemption. Jesus' ascension is not a footnote, but it's a cosmic transition, a stepping stone that begins to point us and lead us towards the fire and wind of Pentecost that comes next week, when the Holy Spirit descends and is present. And now in this gospel lesson, in the last few verses of Luke's gospel, we find Jesus gathered with his friends. And it's not any ordinary farewell. He gently reminds them and reminds you and I of what has come to pass, of what had to come to pass, that his stepping in our world to die and then to be raised again was never random, but was full of purpose, etched into God's will from the beginning. That through Christ, God shows you and I that goodness and life conquers death. That love overcomes sin and evil. All of Scripture pulses with this promise. From Moses recording God's law and Miriam rejoicing in song after being liberated from Egypt, through the fierce poetry of the prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah, to the raw honesty of David in the Psalms. Across generations, through tears and through triumphs, the people of God lift their eyes to God, longing for justice and for peace, for rescue and liberation. And in Jesus, in his words and in his wounds and in his rising, their hopes find that fulfillment. And then Jesus offers his friends and you and I this message: you are witnesses of these things. You are witnesses. Witnesses, not passive observers, not curious bystanders, but witnesses who are entrusted with this truth and this call to share it with others, to bear it and to live it. Witnesses don't hoard knowledge like some sort of secret treasure. They let it shine. They tell their story not because they have all of the answers, but because the love of God in Christ has transformed us, has made us new in profound ways, in resurrecting ways. Now, to be honest, the word witness sort of carries some baggage for me. There's a small part of me that cringes a little bit when I hear this word, because it calls to mind, in my experience, people with loudspeakers outside the Mariners Stadium in Seattle when I was a kid, and even until now. People shouting Bible verses like threats, not gifts. People urging us to repent with ultimatums instead of good news. I've witnessed the same at Pride events. I've witnessed the same outside of a church with a female pastor. And on television and other media, we see it outside of Planned Parenthood places, other places that make some people angry. You may have experienced something similar in your life. And not really being part of our Lutheran tradition, when I hear someone say that they are going to witness or offer a testimony, I sort of hold my breath a little, because so often these moments have not always reflected the Jesus that I know. The Jesus who breaks bread with outcasts, the Jesus who weeps with the grieving, who embraces the ones the world forgets, the one who is quick to forgive and liberate and return to community. I have many non-Christian friends who have expressed to me that the Christianity that they see often on television and social media feels a lot more like condemnation than grace. It feels a lot more like salvation offered as a transaction. This is what people outside the church have experienced in their lives from Christian witnesses. And sometimes, for me, it's hard to identify as a pastor outside of these walls, because I have to immediately clarify that I am not a repent or else pastor, but a God loves you no matter what pastor. As if there has to be an asterisk next to my title, right? I think there is another way for us to be witnesses for Jesus. You see, I believe that we're called to be dual witnesses, to live in that holy tension between what is and what is yet to come. We stand with one foot planted in the heartbreak of the world, and the other in the promise of the kingdom of God. A realm that's not fully here, but yet that is still breaking in and still taking shape in our world now, through these glimpses of mercy and justice that we see, through these glimpses of compassion and love. We are called to bear witness to the world's pain, not to turn away from it, not to shield our hearts with distraction or denial, but to turn toward our neighbors, both far and near, to listen to the voices who cry out for food and for freedom and for justice and for home, to stand in solidarity with the brokenhearted and the poor and the stranger and the immigrant and refugee, the incarcerated and the forgotten, to let our hearts be broke open so that compassion and not comfort might shape our lives. And then, with courage and conviction, we say no, no more. We lift up the pain of the world into the light of Christ. We hold it up to Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, where sin and death are unmasked and named for what they are. Intrusions upon God's purpose and dream for creation. For in Christ the light has come and the darkness has not overcome it. This is our witness, that God's grace is real and relentless, that no one is beyond the reach of God's love, that the Holy Spirit, whom Jesus promised us last week, will indeed teach us the way of Jesus, remind us and lead us to be agents of God's compassion and love in the world. Bishop Emeritus Shelley Wickstrom, who was here last month, reminded us of how our witnessing is sometimes short-sighted. We become experts at identifying what's wrong, but we're hesitant to imagine what could be, what God is making and forming in the world now, how God is calling us forward together as God's people. We are called to speak truth to power, and we're called to be God's artists of hope. Our task is not only to name the brokenness, but to point to the contours of God's ways shown to us in Christ, the way of love and the way of compassion and mercy and justice, those things that heal both those who need to be healed and heal us at the same time. Jesus shows us a better story, one where enemies become companions, where the hungry are fed and the strangers are embraced, where those who mourn are comforted, where the meek inherit the earth, where peacemakers are lifted high and the poor are blessed beyond measure. A world where no one hoards while others go without. This is God's kingdom, here and now and not yet complete. It might seem far off or fanciful, but it is the future that God is weaving together through God's people, through you and I, and our hands, and our generosity, and our hearts, and our living and following the ways of Jesus. So my friends, be witnesses, not of fear, but of love, not of shame, but grace, not of condemnation, but invitation. Let us tell the Jesus story through our own stories, not just with our lips, but with our lives. For the world is aching to hear good news, and by the Spirit's power, you and I are sent to speak it. Thanks be to God. Amen.